the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Thank you. Today, Thursday, is the 29th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Retreat Calendar, and the 10th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is Chapter Ankabut, verses 1, 2, 3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألف لام ميم
ألف Lam Mim
Ahasiban nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun
Do the people think that they will be left to say we believe and they will not be tried
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن واسق حياتي
After mentioning the abbreviated letters, one of the most important issues of man's life is referred to the calamities, pressures, and divine trials. Then immediately the verse points to this fact that trial is a permanent way of treatment of Allah. Trial is not allocated to the community of Muslims. It is something that all former nations had too. Allah had tried them in violent furnaces of trials too, and they were also under the pressure of the cruel, ignorant, unaware, and obstinate enemies. The field of examination has always been open, and some groups have ever participated in this field.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Calamities and disasters in life. If calamity befalls a Muslim, he must say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily, to Allah we belong, and unto Him is our return, and say the du'as that has been narrated from the Prophet and his infallible progeny. How wonderful are those moments in which a person turns to his Lord and knows that He alone is the one who grants relief from distress. How great is the relief when it comes after hardship. Allah says, But give glad tidings to the patient. Who, when afflicted with calamity, say, Truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. Chapter Al-Baqarah, verses 155 and 156.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. When the late Ayatollah Golpayegani's son, Ayatollah Sayyid Mahdi Golpayegani, who was a very influential person in Qom, when he was killed in an accident, and just before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, on the way to Tabas, before the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, there was a very horrible earthquake in the city of Tabas, in southern, one of the cities in the southern part of the Khorasan province in Iran. Well, almost all people rushed to Tabas in order to help the people. The late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahdi Golpayegani, who was one of the sons of the late Ayatollah Sayyid, Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Reza Golpayegani, was one of those people who went to Tabas in order to oversee the whole situation and to help the local people. When the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahdi Golpayegani was on the way to Tabas, in effect of a horrible car accident, he was injured and passed away in the accident. When the dead body of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahdi Golpayegani was taken to Qom, well, I was present over there. The late Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Reza Golpayegani, who was a Grand Ayatollah in Qom, he was also reluctant to shed tears, in front of other people. But one of the clerics pioneered and, went ahead and started recounting the tragic anecdotes of the day of Ashura, and not only the Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Reza Golpayegani, but also all the audience who was over there, all of them started shedding tears. And in this way, both an aspect of the tragedy of Ashura was reviewed, and the Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Reza Golpayegani shed tears, so that some of the instant psychological pressures of receiving this sad news was reduced regarding in the case of the Ayatollah. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Success in the light of calamities. Napoleon used to say, hardships sharpen men's intelligence, which result in a better gain. Goethe says, the storms of incidents strengthen the soul and morale of men. Parents always want to save their children from every kind of hardship, make them tender. They are suffering from a serious misunderstanding. Such tender children tremble like thin leaves in times of stormy weather and fear every breeze. The burdens of life break them down pitiably, but those who have suffered hazards and tough times keep standing like mountains. Stormy winds cannot harm them at all. Similarly, floods always digs up soft ground, but hard soil remains intact amidst floods. The deluge of difficulties proves ineffective in front of tough and sturdy men. Feeble persons cannot stand straight even on their own legs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
The wisdom behind calamities. Dear friend, this is today's special you are listening to from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about the wisdom behind calamities. Trials prepare the believers to prevail on earth. It was said to a wise man, which is better, patience, or tests, or prevailing. He said, prevailing is the level attained by the prophets, and there can be no prevailing except after trials. If a person is tried, he will become patient, and if he remains patient, he will prevail. Attainment of reward and a rise in a status. The Messenger of Allah said, the believer is not harmed by a thorn or anything greater, but Allah will raise him in a status thereby, or erase a sin thereby.
We need to maintain a level of spirituality. Society gives us everything except spirituality. So if we know the rules and we get the spirituality from the religion of Islam, this will really help us manage any problem we experience in society. Whatever we are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us firm. Now the final point that I would like to share with you is how to divide your day. Many people ask, I've got so many things to do. How can I manage amongst all of them? The most important point, my respected brothers and sisters, is to manage your day wisely. And I believe the best way, as I understand from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, is to divide your day into four categories. Every single day should have four categories for you. Divide your time into four segments. It's the best way to keep you on track, to avoid stress, and to manage everything you do in your life. The first part of your day is of course working, and we all know that. We need to live. We need to establish a career, so we need to work. As someone who needs to work, just simply respect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you'll be fine. Do not sin.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is the state of the world prophesied by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, in the end days when the Prophet's last and 12th successor reappears to fill the world with justice. When the advent of our Qa'im, the executor, will fall, the heavens heavens will cause its drops to descend. The lands will grow its plants. The malice will disappear from the hearts of the servants. And animals and beasts will be harmless in such a way that a woman will walk from Iraq to Syria, putting the basket on the head and treading only on green lands, without fearing or being troubled by a beast.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the very beautiful tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, on defining and describing that person who is aqil and that person who is jahil, we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam again mentions two characteristics, and by now you should be aware, one for the aql, and one as a unit for the aql, and one as a unit for the jahil. So here that particular unit or characteristic that is mentioned for an aqil is what is known as al-amana. And obviously that which has been mentioned as the unit for the jahal is al-khiyana. So here al-amana, or what can be, you know, explained as trustworthiness. And this is where we see that the Holy Prophet was known as al-ameen. That when something is given to you, when something is trusted upon you, wherever that thing may be, again, as we mentioned, there are many different instances, references here. One, for example, could be a basic, you know, amount of physical money. Other things could be, you know, more worthy, even if more expensive than money. For example, if someone tells you a particular secret, not about a bad thing, like, for example, he knows that he wants to do something and he has a means to do it, then you go and tell that to somebody else who is in direct competition with him, for example. This is something bad, that you have broken a promise. You have done, you know, treachery, and you have been irresponsible with that particular thing that you have been given. And there's many other things. For example, the physical one that I want to give is someone gives you some money to keep, and you do khiyana to that money. You spend it, and you don't tell him. That person forgets, you don't remind him. You know, just because he forgets does not mean the money becomes yours. No, you have to return it. The trust means that, you know, that particular thing that was given to you and you accepted it, you cannot use it without the permission of that particular person. This is something important to know. If, for example, again, this is a fiqh discussion, we don't want to get into it, but if a person does have to use it in a particular time, he has to seek the permission of the owner. You cannot just, because, oh, it's in my possession, it's in my home, it's in my safe, I have... No, you don't. That is also khiyana to that particular trust. It's also, you know, being irresponsible with it. You are being very treacherous with that particular thing that you have been given. At the end of the day, that amana that has been given to you, you know, is extremely... Rather, you are responsible for it and you have to be answerable for it. But there is a more deeper explanation of this tradition, and that is the amana of Islam and belief. That you have been given this amana and this belief, and then you have to protect it. You have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be a good person. And if you don't, you're awfully doing khiyana to that belief, to that responsibility and that gift and trust that Allah has given you as a Muslim, and especially as a Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us ameen with this belief and this righteousness and this haqq that we have, insha'Allah ta'ala. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل. الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Walaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part of today's program, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 80-82 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Shaykh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Manshawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Oh.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 80 to 82 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi, the great Egyptian reciter. Dear brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A lot of people, a lot of teachers of Quran, when they want to tell their student how they should learn to recite the Quran, okay, in the correct way, with tajweed, with the maqamat, and just, you know, the art of Quran recitation and the way that Egyptians recite the Quran, just the way that we listen to Sheikh Minshawi, they usually tell their students to begin at first by learning the style of Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, because Sheikh Minshawi's style is very easy to learn. It doesn't require, you know, like a very high-pitched voice like Sheikh Abdul Basit, and its pattern is, compared to other reciters, it's a lot easier to learn and memorize, unlike recitation of reciters such as Sheikh Shahat or Mustafa Ismail or Muhammad Imran. These reciters are really complicated, but Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, he has
easy to imitate.
A simple style. Of course, it is simple, but it's very difficult to master, nevertheless. So, and another thing is that Sheikh Minshawi, he has khashya in his recitation. Trying to have this in your recitation is also very important, because the Prophet has said to us that we should recite the Quran with sorrow. With huzn. Khashya is one of the instances of huzn, which is the highest level, actually, which is, you know, the fear that you have out of respect for God.
Fear out of respect.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Khashya.
And there is a certain way that you could do this khashya. The way of doing it is that you should read the Quran from your sinus. This might sound a little strange. Okay, this is what Sheikh Minshawi does.
Somehow you have to feel humbleness when you're reciting.
Yeah. Like this. This is the sinus. You could also say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. See, this is, if you do this, you could, you know,
show
the khashya. This is what Sheikh Minshawi does. And it's very difficult, okay? It's not easy. Anyway, so let's talk about the tajweed now.
Good idea.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. This whole verse has no place to stop at. Okay? So you have to read the entire verse with one breath. You could do this by either reciting a little faster, like Sheikh Minshawi, Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. His style of recitation is such that the speed of his recitation is faster compared to the compared to the recitation of other reciters. Okay, and it's rhythmic also. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. See, it's fast.
Ups and downs.
Not just the ups and downs, but
rhythmic, you mean.
It's rhythmic because it has the same speed. You know, it doesn't get slow, it doesn't get fast, and it's like, it's very rhythmic. You know? But if you like recite like this, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. This is not very rhythmic. It's like you're reciting slowly, but you don't have a rhythm. But Sheikh Minshawi, he recites with a rhythm, very
with a faster pace, better said.
Faster pace and steady pace. I mean, he doesn't slow down in the middle. He doesn't spend too much time on certain letters, and you know, so that's why his recitation is considered very good to begin with, you know, for those who want to learn Quran recitation. So this was this verse, and then we have the next verse again. There's no place to stop. Of course, this does not mean that you should not stop in the middle of the verse. It's still possible, but if you do that, you have to go a little back, start from a little back, and then continue.
This is the rule waqf wal ibtida.
This is waqf wal ibtida. For example, if you say فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ, if you stop here, you have to go back to فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فَئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَ. You could even stop on يَنْصُرُونَ.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to go back to the place where the verb starts. فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. So you have to, it's very difficult if you want to stop in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because yes, you have to know exactly where to stop so that it makes sense.
Uh-huh. And then so where to stop.
So the meaning is complete. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, if you like stop at فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ, this is incomplete. Mm-hmm. The meaning is not conveyed completely. So it's not a good place to stop. So the easiest route is to just recite the whole verse whenever you don't know where to stop.
With one breath.
With one breath.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our hadith, it's very much criticized and condemned that a person would just interpret the Quran based on their own personal opinion. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Man fassara al-Qur'ana bira'yihi fa'asabah lam yu'jar wa in akhta'a kana ismuhu alayh." If someone who is not trained, has no experience, no knowledge, no skill, no recognition of scholars, and he does tafsir, even if his opinion is correct, he is not going to be rewarded. Even it happens that what he says is correct, like for example, if I am not a mujtahid and I express my opinion and it happens that luckily what I said was okay, I am not going to be rewarded. Like a person who is not a doctor and tells you what to do and says, take this medicine, and just luckily it works. No one is going to give him credit. MashaAllah, without going to university and studying, you gave a prescription and it worked. No. No rational person would give him credit. Everyone would blame him. Yes, this time it worked, but maybe it was going to kill this person. If you are not legitimate, qualified, doctor, why you give prescription? If you are not a legitimate, qualified mujtahid, why you give fatwa? If you are not a legitimate, qualified judge, you cannot issue any verdict. So the same is with mufassir. So even if you are not calling yourself mufassir, but you are interpreting any ayah of the Quran in your class, in your lecture, I don't know, in family gatherings. Because some people say, I don't call myself mufassir, but it doesn't matter what you call yourself, you are actually doing tafsir. Whether you call yourself doctor or not, when you give prescription, it's a problem. So, We have to be very careful.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. دين الإسلام ديني والعظم غير ديني محمد اللي هديني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Today, we're going to be talking about Islamic laws about usury according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Before dealing with these questions, let's take a listen to a short biography.
Little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, That's the first year that he started his Bahth al-Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching maqasid, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahth al-Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahth al-Kharij, he started Bahth al-Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
We are talking about Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei on usury. And it's a couple of episodes that we have been talking about this topic. Let me start off this episode with this question. You know, it's very hard these days to find loans without any interest, without usury. Either you are the recipient of the loan, or you are the lender if you are working in a bank.
Yes, all right. Right.
And lots of people are involved in
you're
such
right.
transactions, in such loan giving and taking. All right?
Yes.
So my question is, imagine that a person is in need of a loan. They are in difficulty, financially speaking, and they need the loan badly. All right?
Mm.
Is it permissible if they cannot get a usury-free or interest-free loan? All right. Is it permissible for such people to, let's say, go to a supermarket, to a grocery,
yes,
and ask for an article or a commodity to buy that stuff?
Yes.
All right. But they take it on credit.
Yes.
They buy the goods on
credit. Yes.
So they go out and sell it at a usually less price. All right. And then they take the money on the spot, all right?
I suppose the riba can occur when you sell it to the same person because you buy it on credit,
yes.
Okay? And you get it, you sell, I think, the same thing to the same person, but this time you will sell it in cash.
All okay? right.
But you will overcharge that individual, okay?
Right.
Yes.
So if you overcharge that person, what happens? Is that considered usury? And if you sell it to another person, it's not considered riba?
Well, it's a kind of circumventing the Islamic law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bypassing the Islamic law. Because you buy something on credit and you sell it back to the same person in cash, and then you receive that money. You receive that money, and then that money becomes a kind of a loan. This is my understanding of the question.
All right.
Yeah, if you have...
Yes, if you give it back to the same person, that would be the same, yes.
Because you sell it, and then you receive money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From
yes.
the same person, and you are in need of you are in need of money, because that's what you said as far as I could I understood. You receive money from the same person, but... and of course, this is according to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it's a kind of circumventing the law and Islamic Sharia law, and it does not make it halal. And of course, Ayatollah Khamenei says that this type of transaction is nothing but a play to circumvent a riba based loan. Okay,
mm-hmm.
circumvent a riba based loan. It means to bypass a riba-based loan, and it's not permissible, Because according to some religious authorities, some circumventing is permissible. Okay, it could be a change of words, or it could be a change of the scenario, and it becomes halal. But Ayatollah Khamenei says no, you cannot change the scenario and make it halal for yourself. It is a kind of circumventing the riba based loan, and it's not permissible.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
The other question that I have for you is concerning the market. And in some markets and some countries, the companies or traders will be willing to give the goods away, yes, to their buyers, to their clients or customers.
Yes.
In fact, by installments. And if you pay them cash, all right?
Yes.
They will give the commodity to you at exactly the same price. But if you ask or buy that product, if you ask for that product, all right, from, yes, the same company, in installment, if you don't give them cash, the, yes, exact price for the good, all right?
Yes.
Then they will ask you to give them more money, right? Right? So this is a sort of kind of interest, isn't it? All right?
Yeah.
Is it permissible for a Muslim to buy goods by installments for a price that is higher than the cash price?
Mm.
And does this amount to riba or usury?
Well, as far as I know, all the religious authorities permit buying things on installments, okay?
Right.
And Ayatollah Khamenei is not an exception. He also permits buying things, purchasing things on installments. And of course, in modern day, you see, people do not have enough cash. They do not have money in their banks or in their credit and debit cards.
Yes.
And they cannot pay the whole price amount at on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay it by and on several several
monthly
installments.
Yeah,
yes. Monthly installments. And this is how nowadays it has become a trend, I think. So
yes,
people buy things on installments. So Ayatollah Khamenei says there's no objection to buying things on installments. You buy a house on installments, you buy, let's say, a car on installments, and it can be anything.
Even on the condition that you have to pay extra money?
Of course, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I see.
It's permissible.
All right. Suppose I lent an amount of money to someone, and later I noticed that he or she invested it in a haram business or enterprise, all right?
Yes.
And they want to settle my loan, from the profit that they make.
Yes.
From this very haram act,
mm-hmm,
or work, all right? What can I do here? Can I accept this money from them?
Well, how do you know that he is paying you from the haram money, from the very haram money that was generated from the, let's say, from the that haram activity that he is carrying out?